Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Trinity Talks. My name is Kyla and I'm the online engagement director here at Trinity Church Streetsville. So we all know that life doesn't always go according to plan. There's disappointments, there's hurt and heartbreak and illness. And in those times, it can be really easy to feel like we're all alone. We're the only ones who have ever gone through this and we need to figure it out all by ourselves. But we also know that that's not true. And so I'm really excited to sit down this week with a group of folks who are committed to walking alongside other people in the midst of those challenges and making sure that folks don't feel alone, that they have someone to process with. And here at Trinity, that group of people are known as Stephen Ministers. And so I'm really excited to hear their stories and perspectives today. So welcome to the podcast, folks.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
So I'm just going to get you to start by introducing yourselves, maybe saying your name and just how long you've been a Stephen minister. So maybe we'll start over here.
Thank you. My name is Tracy. I've been a Stephen minister for 15 years.
Okay.
Hi. I'm Ali, and I'm the newbie in this group.
Okay.
I've been a Stephen minister for about 16 months now.
Okay, great.
And I'm Bob, and I've been a Stephen minister for about 8 years.
Okay, great. So I think first, the most obvious question is just what is a Stephen minister? What is it that you folks do?
Stephen Ministry is an organization that trains and equips regular, everyday people to care for others one-on-one in a Christian caregiving type of way. The name Stephen Ministry is directly from the biblical book of Acts 6, where we had Stephen, who was a deacon, and he and six others were chosen by the early church to care and minister to the widows who had been neglected in the community. Stephen ministers today meet one-on-one with people who are going through a difficult time in their life. They might be experiencing very dark days. They could be even going through a crisis. And we meet with them and process with them. And we go through a time together, which we'll describe as we go on, but we go through a time together where we care for them and help see them through their difficult time.
Okay. And so in terms of the Stephen ministry, I know that there's this model that you sort of have of what I think you call the safe house.
Yes.
And so I think we have an image of that to share.
Good.
So maybe you could just talk us through what does this look like? What does this mean?
Yeah, so the safe house. So the safe house is not a real house. It is, I wish it was, wouldn't that be lovely? But it's a model. And very early in our training, we see this model and we learn about the safe house. So basically, it's a structure. And the base of the house is the foundation. And the foundation, of course, we don't have a dwelling or a house without a foundation. And so that's why grace-based acceptance is the foundation of the house. So grace-based acceptance means that when we meet with our care receivers are the people we care for. We call them care receivers. When we meet with our care receivers, we begin by being prayerful before we go to the meeting. And we meet them with compassion and empathy. And this is the base of what we work from. And of course, every dwelling, the walls of every dwelling are what create the area or the space within the dwelling. In this case, we focus on listening and empathy as the walls of our dwelling. And these are two really important goals of Stephen ministers, with the greater goal of being Christ-centered and reflecting the love of Christ as we listen and as we empathize. So like any rooftop of a house, roofs protect us from burning in the sun, and they protect us from weathering in the other elements. And this roof protects the care receiver as well with confidentiality. So anything that we talk about in our safe space together remains confidential. And that means that if they know they can trust us in this area, then they will be freer and more comfortable to open up.
Sure.
Yeah. And so finally, the door of the house, the front door. So while we have the safety of the foundation, the walls, and the roof, the door is the invitation to trust. So when a care receiver walks through this door, every time we meet, they know they're coming into a place of trust. And the Stephen minister consistently stays in this space with them. Mm-hmm. And of course, the Holy Spirit is always part of this safe space together. So with the Holy Spirit's present, providing trust, comfort, and protection during our meetings, this is how we process, and this is how we progress with somebody. Yeah. So since the safe house is not a real place, and we can't actually go and meet there together, we go and we meet our care receivers in other places.
Sure.
So typically we will go for coffee with our care receiver. We'll meet them at a Tim Hortons or McDonald's or Starbucks, or you get the idea. And or sometimes we meet in a park. We might sit at a picnic table or a park bench. We might go for a walk. So of course, I'm sure we're all wondering, well, that doesn't sound as good as the safe house, you know, meeting at a sure. Tim Hortons with, you know, somebody sitting very close to you at another table.
Yep.
Sometimes that's the case, but there are tables at Tim Hortons that are further apart from others.
Sure.
So what happens is, you know, we end up meeting together just one-on-one. It's just the two of us, usually a table for two, mm-hmm. sitting very closely, looking at each other, you know, coffee in hand.
Yep.
And we just end up talking. And I don't know how many times a care receiver has said to me, oh my gosh, I can't believe time's up already, because the time goes by so quickly.
Mm.
And hopefully after that first meeting, we meet again for a second meeting, and then a third and a fourth. And before you know it, it becomes our place. You know, we might have one place where we meet or two, and it just becomes our table. Yeah. And that's it.
Yeah.
And it really does work out. And we pray at Tim Hortons or McDonald's, and we just go through a time together that's very special and very unique.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It reminds me of this sermon series that we've just finished of, like, hospitality, that mm-hmm. you're really creating this open space where people can come in and feel comfortable and yeah, cared for.
Yeah, that's a wonderful way to look at it.
Yeah. So I'm wondering... this sounds like a ministry that can take a lot out of you, that requires a lot of giving. And so what prompted you to be a Stephen minister? Maybe we'll start with Bob.
Well, over the years at Trinity, I've done a number of things. I taught Sunday school, made coffee, mm-hmm. arguably one of the more important ministries.
Of course, yes.
And I was on the building committee, that sort of thing. And actually, I was working on the at the welcome desk. I was approached and asked. And the more I thought about it, it was the natural thing seemed to be, yeah, for sure, you know. And I began at Trinity back in 1989, mm-hmm. and my wife had died actually shortly before Christmas. So obviously, that was a very terrible time.
Mm-hmm.
And not everybody knew of my situation, but people were very helpful. And I never forgot that. And that's just the nature of Trinity Church. We help one another. It's just the culture we have here. So with that in mind, I thought, yeah, for sure I'll be a Stephen minister. And yeah, it's really no more complicated than that. It's a chance to help other people, you know, yeah. if I could.
Yeah, for sure. What about for you, Allie?
My calling was, I suppose you could say, it was born from a personal experience.
Mm-hmm.
About 12 years ago, my husband and I were going through a difficult season of grief, and each of us became care receivers. We had okay. a Stephen minister walk alongside each of us during a very difficult season. And it was it was profound for us because in a time where we were experiencing difficulties, somebody cared for us, prayed for us, listened to us, and just to be in a safe place, it's amazing how somebody who's not steeped in everything going on, it's just a blessing to have that person listening to us and talking with us and praying. Yeah. You know, it strengthened faith and it gave hope in a difficult time.
Yeah, I love that you were able to take your own experience of being cared for and being filled up in some sense, and now you're able to, from that, pour out to others.
And it you know, obviously it was a long time ago, and during that time I've been involved in women's ministry and and just had the opportunity to walk alongside people. But doing the Stephen ministry training really, it teaches us about listening, listening, and not trying to, you know, we're not there to fix a situation, but what we can do is we can pray for people, and prayer transforms lives.
Yeah, for sure. Great. And what about you, Tracy? What prompted you to be a Stephen minister?
I just want to correct something. Yeah. I said I've been doing this for 15 years, and that was a lie.
Oh, okay.
So it's actually been since 2011. So that's about 13 and a half years.
Okay, yep.
Honestly, as we all know, churches go through changes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some people might call them ups and downs. Let's just call them changes. And there was a time at Trinity when Trinity was going through very progressive changes. And it was working out really well for me at the time. And there were other people I knew at church who it was not working out well for, and they were hurting. Mm-hmm. And I just thought that I needed to do something. Hmm. And an opportunity came up to do Stephen ministry training, and I really wasn't sure it was right for me. But I did do it. I went through it, and as soon as I started caring for people one-on-one, I realized that it was God who was directing me in that direction. Mm. And just the circumstances and situations that were around me, and things people said, and it just sort of led me in that direction.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's interesting how each of you has a bit of a slightly different story, a slightly different way of coming into this. But it's clear to me anyway that's something that God has directed you to, whether it was through someone else's nudge or through your own experience or just through knowing and caring for other people that this is something God is calling you to and using you in. So Tracy touched on this a little bit of what it looks like, you know, you're meeting at different coffee shops and things like that. But what does the Stephen ministry look like in practice? What do you do to help care for and support people? Maybe we'll start with Allie.
Well, when we meet together, it's about an hour a week. Mm-hmm. So we meet together for about an hour a week, and it's very relaxed. There's no homework. We are just there to just listen. It's amazing when people are going through difficult times, just having an ear to listen to what they want to say. And we just let people explore their feelings, share their feelings, and then we're there to encourage them. Mm-hmm. We're there to maybe point them in the way of some scripture, and we're there to pray for them. So it's a time of discussion. Mm-hmm. It's just a time of companionship and encouragement and discussion.
Yeah, okay. Bob, do you want to add anything to that?
Well, it's very much about listening. Listening occupies about 90% of my time.
Sure.
Yeah. And I prefer to meet, you know, personally, one-on-one. It's about an hour a week, as Ali said. During COVID, actually, I did a bit by telephone.
Okay.
As well as, you know, meeting personally. But I prefer personally. And it's creating an atmosphere of trust with the care receiver. He knows we don't judge, we don't preach, we don't prophesize, you know. I had an occasion where somebody introduced me as a Stephen minister, and they thought I was an ordained minister. So I spent some time correcting that, right?
Yep.
So it's very much a matter of listening, keeping an open mind, and empathizing. One thing I don't say is, I know how you feel.
Right.
Although my wife died, which I told you she did, if I'm meeting with a care receiver who's gone through the same experience, you know, that's why we're there. And I said, well, I know how you feel, because I don't. Mm. So I'm very cautious about that and cognizant of that for some reason. I just don't. I've also had many times where the care receiver has asked me for an answer to a question. For example, how does a piece of scripture relate to the current situation?
Sure.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not a theologian. And you know, it's interesting because the fellow appreciated that and offered his own explanation, which I thought was great. Then I was sort of taken aback because my job is to answer questions and I didn't have the answers. So that was somewhat disconcerting.
Yeah.
So it's very much a partnership in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Working together. And I think, and once the partnership gels, it works very well.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's always remembering that we're not there to fix the situation.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We're just there to provide care. Mm-hmm. And, you know, God is our healer.
Yeah.
God is our healer. And where we can, we will be able to provide some guidance through scripture and prayer and just turn them towards God to help them lean into God in a difficult situation.
Sure. Yeah.
Sometimes we're in a position when we're with someone for a little while where we see God working in their life, but they don't.
Mm.
They don't see it. And we can sit with them and trace back, well, a month ago or a few weeks ago or many months ago, reminding them of a situation or something that happened, and now we can see God working in their life. And that can be such a revelation for somebody.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's great that you can be that sort of sounding board and a mirror almost to sort of help people see themselves in their own life more clearly. Because I know even for myself in my experiences of hardship, you know, you can get so stuck in it.
Yeah,
that it's nice to have a person sort of outside of that, like you said.
Yeah, somebody who's not steeped in the difficulties. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is there a certain or sort of an average length of time that you're seeing someone? So you said, you know, maybe you meet once a week, but is it a month, 6 months? Is there an average?
I've had 6 months. I've also had 3 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not sure if Tracy has maybe a bit more experience, but I think 3 years, would that be? I don't know.
It's all over the board.
Okay.
I met somebody once.
Okay.
And sat with her, and that was the only time.
Yeah.
And I was with somebody for 2.5 years.
Okay.
And usually, though, I'm with somebody sometime between 4 months and a year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it just as well as remembering that seasons are different for everyone.
Of course.
And so we're there for them during it. And a lot of the time people, you know, our care receivers know when the time is right, when things are looking up and they're feeling stronger. And there's no definitive end when we start with someone. Yeah. We just want to support them until they're in a stronger place.
Okay. Mm-hmm. No. Yeah, that's helpful. Thank you. So are there any other ways that the Stephen ministers can support people?
Yes, there are. And this is the time for our advertisement in the podcast. Trinity has a wonderful ministry called the Grief Book Ministry. And the grief book, I have two of them here. Can I show them?
Yep.
There. Yeah. There's two of the books. The Grief Book Ministry is a ministry of four books that talk about grief during the different stages of grief over the course of 1 year. And so if you are a member of Trinity and someone in your immediate family passes away, you could receive the grief books, and you can ask us, you know, tell us that, oh, you know, could you please send me the grief books, because, or maybe somebody could ask us on your behalf. And so what we do is we just basically mail the first book out a month after the passing of the loved one. Mm-hmm. Second book is mailed out 2 to 3 months later. And then the third book at 6 months and the fourth book at 11 months. Each book is sort of designed to help you walk through what you might be feeling at that particular time in your grief. Hmm. Grief is complicated.
Yeah.
It's not clear. It's different for everyone. Mm-hmm. And at the very, very least, receiving these books reminds people that their church remembers them during the first year of their grief. And at the very most, these books are very user-friendly. Mm-hmm. They're not overly religious, if I can say.
Yeah.
You understand what that means. They're not overly religious. They have messages in them that you might find is how you're feeling. There's scripture. There's quotes from famous people. They're just a wonderful ministry. And Stephen, Charles, and I send these books to people, and we are absolutely blessed by doing it.
Mm.
These books travel from British Columbia all the way to the East Coast. Most of the people we've never met, and we just love sending these books.
Mm.
Sometimes when we do know the people that, you know, the Trinity members that receive these books, we basically, you know, we leave them to their privacy. I don't go up and say, oh, did you get my book? You know, we just leave it.
Yep. Yep.
And occasionally somebody will come up to us and tell us how much these books meant to them, or how much they meant to their mother, because maybe we sent it to somebody's mother or right. father, or maybe we sent it to, you know, somebody in the immediate family that really needed the books.
Right.
So it's just a wonderful ministry. And I also want to add, this is important, because we send these books doesn't mean we know about the people who have died. We don't know about the families who are suffering. We don't know about the person who is grieving.
Yeah.
We send the books, but we don't know firsthand.
Yeah.
It's not a channel of communication among friends. We need to be given a request. We need to be told, somebody in this family has passed away. Could you please send these books to this person, here is their address.
Sure.
And we'll be glad to do it.
Yeah.
So I want to just, anyone who's watching, please keep that in mind, that you have access to Stephen Ministry. You can get in touch with us if you know of someone at church here that could benefit from getting these books.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Now, some people maybe are listening and they're thinking, well, you know, maybe I could do this. Maybe I would benefit from these books, but you know, maybe it's not for me. You know, maybe it feels a little too scary, or it feels like, well, maybe that's for some other kind of person. So what might you say to someone who's thinking about this, but not quite sure?
Well, it's not uncommon for someone who's going through a difficulty, as I was when my wife died, to be dealing with a professional.
Right.
It's interesting. I was working for Lennox at the time, and I was taking another job within the same company. And of course, HR insisted we go and see a psychiatrist. It scared a lot of people, right? But my point is, though, I did have access to professional help. I said to Tom one time, I think I'm going crazy. He said, no, you're not. But I mean, that's what the professional can bring, that, you know, certainty, because he knows clinically, you know, what the problems are. The same as a medical doctor. So these people may be dealing with doctors or healthcare professionals.
Sure.
So we don't do that at all. We just listen, as you can tell.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't try and fix things.
Mm-hmm.
And people, look around the congregation. Everybody's going through the same thing. Or people, you know, people that are going through health issues, right? Everybody seems to be having a hip replacement or something. Or some sort of, right? It's commonplace. And
yep.
Death of a loved one, or somebody's in a nursing home, that sort of thing. So, the troubles we're facing are commonplace. The reluctance may stem from perhaps embarrassment.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, depending on the situation. It could be the fact that if they're members of the congregation, then we see us at coffee hour every week, or you see the same. That may be a source of reluctance, the fact that you don't want to divulge your problems to somebody you know. So that's another possibility. as to why they wouldn't might not come forward.
Yeah, yeah.
But again, we don't fix things. And the relationships, I've seen the results in the relationships, just therapeutic benefit of talking seems to work.
Yeah.
And just to add to what Bob's saying, you know, I think we mentioned earlier on, we're an additional layer.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of support out there in society, and we're an extra layer. And our care is very individually tailored.
Sure.
So Stephen, our ministry leader, he will be the first point of contact for people. Mm-hmm. And he makes sure when he pairs someone with a Stephen minister, there's so much prayer goes into that.
Sure.
And so when someone is paired with a Stephen minister, they won't know each other. We would never put people in a position where there's a conflict of interest that their best friend's husband or wife is becoming their Stephen minister.
Right.
When we say there's confidentiality, there is complete confidentiality. It's absolutely between the Stephen minister and their care receiver. Mm-hmm. And nobody else is aware of it. Yeah. And there's not going to be conversations happening in the parish hall or the lobby where any of their privacy would be interrupted. Everything is just between the Stephen minister and the care receiver.
Yeah. Thanks for mentioning that, Ali. Yeah. Another great thing about us being strangers when we first meet is that if they do have a family issue, they're free to talk about their family, and we don't know who these people are. So they might be a little more comfortable talking about their family members. And we're more likely not to be judgmental because we haven't got any clue who the people are.
Yeah.
So, the confidentiality piece is especially connected to the fact that when we first meet, we're very, if it is somebody we see at church, it might just be someone we've seen from afar. It's not somebody we've met or are acquainted with. Mm-hmm. So,
Yeah, no, that's great.
And it can take, when things are tough, it can take quite a lot of courage to ask for help and support. As Bob was saying, you know, you might feel embarrassed or ashamed or just, oh, you know, I should be able to do this because I have faith. And sometimes we don't know what to pray. And we read in scripture that the Spirit can intercede. But we can also intercede for each other. And that's where a Stephen minister can be great prayerful support if people just feel a bit of a loss themselves.
Yeah, yeah. For
sure. If we want our congregation and people in the community to know that they're not alone, we can be there. We can walk with them.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's a great message, a great thing to sort of, keep in mind that In these difficulties, we're not alone. And it's not a weakness to reach out for help. That's actually just building on our own support networks.
Yeah, right? It's another aspect of hospitality. We're caring. We care for each other.
So we've talked a lot about how, as Stephen ministers, you support other people. You might help to strengthen their faith and help them to feel encouraged. But I'm wondering if there are ways that this ministry has also shaped your own faith and your own life and sort of fed you as well. So do you have any stories or things you want to share about that?
Well, I mean, going back to what I said in the beginning, I'm having a Stephen minister helped change my faith. It helped show me how people who don't even know me, my church, can care for me in that way. And that's quite humbling that someone would do that for me. So being able to do that for others is a gift. It's a privilege. Yeah. It's a privilege to pray for other people. And certainly my faith has deepened through prayer, through scripture, and just in we read in Matthew 25:40, what we do for others, whatever we do, the least we do for others, we do for Jesus. And so it's I like to be able to glorify God in being able to support other people, to be the hands and feet of Jesus.
Yeah.
And that's faith in action.
Yeah, for sure. What about for you, Bob?
Yeah, well, my background is applied technology and applied science. And okay. there's no room for faith in that business. It's all empirical evidence and hard, good data.
Yep.
Right? So faith played no part in that particular part of my life. But it's been a journey, as you say, and it's just a continuum of experiences. And the longer I've been a Stephen minister, and more I've seen, the more I've talked to my colleagues and listened to their stories, the results have given me that degree of certainty. There's also the business of prayer that I didn't really, my background, when my wife died and I came to training, that was a long time ago now, back in 89, I hadn't been to church in years. What's really interesting there, I was sitting on the 18th floor of Mount Sinai, my wife had just died, and I was sitting in a room like this, not unlike this, by myself, and I had this pick list of things I had to do. It was just unbelievable, right? And one of them, you had to go back to church. Somebody told me, I have to go back to church. And I ended up here. Hmm. So I've had these continuums of experience, but where am I going? Oh, with the prayer thing, I've seen the results of that. Hmm. And in my own life, I had a cancer some years ago. Well, back during COVID, I had cancer. I had breast cancer, actually, which is unusual in a man, I know. And prior to surgery, about a day before, a friend of mine phoned me and prayed for me on the phone. Again, we couldn't get together because it was during COVID. And one of the things I remember him saying for the surgeon to guide their hand as during the operation. And what was interesting, a couple of weeks later, I went back for a post-operation interview with the surgeon. Mm-hmm. And she was very excited. Because I'm a bit of an anomaly in that, males don't typically have these mastectomies. There were a lot of doctors and medical students around the table, I remember. And my point is this. She decided to take out 5 lymph nodes. At that point, they didn't know whether the tumor was cancerous or not. Mm. But she made a call to remove these lymph nodes. And her colleagues were questioning her, why are you doing that? And here's what she said to me. I had a gut feeling, an intuition. Mm. Now, was that prayer, the result of prayer? Was that coincidence? I don't know.
Sure.
But after you see enough of these coincidences, as I have, I'm convinced that it's the Holy Spirit working through us. And as I think you alluded to that, it's the Holy Spirit working through us that enables us to do more we can ask for or imagine. Mm. But based on my experiences, and I go from a position of science and empirical evidence to a position now of faith. Mm. And that's, I guess, the route that faith's taken in my life.
Yeah.
But just before I forget, I was watching a podcast yesterday. It was Tom Wright. And he referenced a fellow called William Temple. And he said, when I pray, coincidences happen. Mm-hmm. And when I stop praying, coincidences stop happening. Mm. So that's been my journey of faith, if you like. Yeah,
for sure. What about for you, Tracy? Are there any ways that being a Stephen minister has helped shape your life and faith?
I like the idea of being partnered with somebody who's somebody I don't know, who's a mystery to me. And I wonder, just before I meet them, maybe as I'm driving to meet them, who is this, Lord? Like, what is it going to be like? Yeah. Who is this person? And I just know right away that it's God who has orchestrated this meeting. Mm-hmm. It's taken some steps. People have had to make decisions to make that first phone call to Stephen Ministry. There's been some steps and decisions made. And finally, I've been partnered with this person. Mm-hmm. And I like the idea of being able to just sit and listen as somebody vents or, just gets it off their chest. Mm-hmm. And the idea that when we say goodbye, they may have been relieved a little bit. Mm. And they may feel a little bit hopeful.
Yeah.
And it just gives me faith because I do see people progress over time and I do see how they come out of it. People come out to the other side. Mm-hmm. Also, I have to say, we spend a lot of time in our meetings. We spend 4 hours a month in meetings, so two-hour meetings. And the Stephen ministers, who are my peers, their heart, when I see their hearts and the revelations that they have in their ministry, that gives me faith. Mm. I just find it incredible. And I have to say, sitting here in this podcast with Bob and Allie, as they've, you know, expressed and shared with us, that's increased my faith again.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I would say the same. Yeah.
One thing I meant to say during my Stephen ministry, my last Stephen minister, I sat with him. Last time I saw him, I was sitting beside him reading from the Book of Common Prayer, mm-hmm. and he was dying. They were his last few hours on earth. And I never thought when it began as a Stephen minister, I'd be in that position. Mm. But it seemed natural. It just seemed the right thing to do. And
Mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing that. So if folks have been listening and now maybe they're a bit intrigued and they're feeling like, well, maybe for me, this is something that could be helpful. Or maybe for my family member or my friend, this is something that could be helpful. How can they reach out?
Good. Well, we have an email and a phone number, mm-hmm. which is going to be shared. So you can just leave a very simple message. You don't have to give any details. Just leave a very simple message. Also, we have a pamphlet at the welcome desk. And mm-hmm. people who you see at the welcome desk know a little something of Stephen Ministry. They can guide you in a certain direction. The church office knows about Stephen Ministry. You can call the church office for the name and number, email address. And, you know, you can see Bob and Allie and me here today. If you see us around, you could always speak to us. And also, if you're out of town and you don't live in the Mississauga or Peel area, you can Google Stephen Ministry and the name of your town or city, and a whole list of churches in your area will come up that have Stephen Ministry. Maybe in your city or town, or it may be in the one next to you, but Stephen Ministry is all around. And it's accessible.
Okay, great. Yeah, so if you're watching this on YouTube, you can see the email address and phone number on your screen there. If you're listening to this as an audio podcast, the email address and the phone number will be in the podcast description. So you can just check there to get that information. So thank you so much, folks. This has been a really good conversation and just a great chance to hear your story, to hear your heart for ministry and for caring for other people. So thank you for sharing and thank you for the work that you do. And like I said, if you or someone that you know is interested in reaching out and being supported by Stephen Minister, please feel free to do that. Get in touch with us or give a call to Trinity Church Streetsville in Mississauga, and we would be happy to connect with you. We'll see you next week.